I like these guys. You're great. Thank you. We appreciate them leading us in worship, and they did a great job. The church always needs to be about the next generation. I mean, it needs to look to the next generation. If you kind of disagree with that, then you can take that up with God, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it clearly states that we are supposed to be passing a heritage and a legacy of faith to the next generation. And I'm thinking, if we're 50 or 60 or older and we haven't figured it out by now, well, you know, let's at least invest in somebody who has a chance to really figure it out, right? So, and we appreciate these guys. They do a great job. I want to say a special congratulations to the graduates, to all of you. We are proud of you. Congratulations for all you have accomplished, the hard work, the early mornings of getting up and getting ready and getting to school and going through the classes. And, you know, there are some teachers who just believe that a day without notes is a day without sunshine. And bless your hearts. You know, hopefully none of you had him. But it's just, you have made a great accomplishment. And we congratulate you, and we wish you the very best. And we want to support you and invest in you as you continue your journey of faith with Christ and where God is going to take you and lead you. Let me pray for you. I know you've been prayed for a lot, but just to pray for you. Father in heaven, we just thank you for these students as they graduate. We thank you for their lives, for what you're doing in their lives and how you're working, for this accomplishment that they have come to. And Father, we know that you have plans for them. You see things for their lives that perhaps they have never even dreamed, and that you want to make those dreams a reality. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to work and lead them, make their hearts sensitive to your Holy Spirit, so that as you work, they will follow you in the places that you want them to go. Father, we thank you for their families, that their families have invested in their faith, for their church family investing in their relationship with you. And Father, may we continue to support them and stand with them and walk with them and encourage them and love them as you have loved us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, before I start, you know, I've been taking this class, and every time you like turn in a paper or something and you don't give proper credit, they always send you this little note: don't forget to give the credit. So I'm going to do a quick commercial, and I'm going to go ahead and give the credit where the credit is due and encourage you to go ahead and do something. There is a book that, if you've looked inside on your outline, it's The Principle of the Path, and we're going to be talking for the next 3 weeks about The Principle of the Path. I am not going to read this book to you, I promise. I just believe that you are far more intellectual than that, and you are able to read this for yourself. I do encourage you to purchase it. I'm going to give you some teasers and some insights from it. It has been a huge thing. It is some things that I want to say, particularly to high school students, particularly to graduates as you continue. But it applies to all of us, and we will get into that. It was written by Andy Stanley, and I think you will enjoy it. It's a fun read, lots of good things in it, and it's one of those things that I find myself saying, well, why didn't I think of that? But we're going to be looking at this over the next 3 weeks, so I have given him credit. I have even promoted his book, and so now we will move on from that. We are going to be talking about the principle of the path, and the scripture you'll find is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We invite you to find a Bible and look there. Several years ago, I took a group of students to North Carolina, and we were just up there for kind of an adventure weekend. We decided that we were going to hike down this trail. It was near Grandfather Mountain. And hiking down this trail, we were going to find this water slide. It was a natural water slide. This is not one of those controlled water slides that you get at Six Flags or in a normal water park. Not at all. This one was granite rock that's been there for years. It has moss on it. So literally, when you sit down on it, the natural water just takes you and you take off. It is better than any water slide that you pay good money to go to. This one's free. It lands in this big pool of water, and we had a lifeguard water safety instructor who for 30 seconds disappeared under the water. He could not find the bottom. That's how deep this pool is. And it was a blast. But you had to walk a trail to get to it. So the lady tried to explain to me how to find this trail. She said, you just follow this path, and I promise you it'll take you right to it. You're going to know it when you see it. We started following this path. I'm not exactly sure. Somewhere along the way, my children will tell you that if Dad could get lost in his own house, he would get lost. He got lost in the mountains on Grandfather Mountain. We ended up somewhere up on the mountain. The first clue should have been when the water supply started getting smaller, we are not going anywhere near this water slide. It is just not going to happen. We changed directions, went another way, found another path, and ended up at the water slide. We had a blast for the next hour. It was lots of fun. That's just the nature of paths, isn't it? That paths take you somewhere. They just naturally lead you somewhere, take you somewhere in life. Believe it or not, we all walk paths in life. We walk relational paths. We walk financial paths. We walk spiritual, moral, and ethical paths. We walk academic paths. All of those are pathways in life, and those pathways in life are going somewhere. Along the way, at some point, if we just slow down long enough to pay attention to what's going on in our lives, we might find that the outcome of some of those paths are very predictable. It's that statement that at the end, when you reach the end of a path, you look back and you say, I should have seen that coming. I should have realized that was about to happen. We were so busy hurrying down our pathway, we forgot to check, is this pathway actually leading and moving toward the destination I want to arrive? Because just as every path in life has a beginning, there's a process. Every pathway in life has an ending. It has a place that it is going. It always works with paths. It's called the principle of the path. Principles are not laws. Let's not confuse them. When you get your driver's license and you go out and drive, there is a speed limit. That is the law. You can break that law. Some of us probably broke that law this morning. We can break that law. You may not get caught breaking that law. There may be no consequences for breaking the law. The same is not true with the principle. If you break a principle, it will break your life. Principles always work. They are working behind the scenes of your life. Sometimes we say, well, I don't see this principle working in my life. Does not mean it's not working. It just means that the effects of that principle and how it's working in your life have not shown up yet in your life. But it will show up. Principles always work. Some people think, I am way too smart. I can avoid the consequences of this principle. I can break this principle and there will not be any negative consequences in my life. You are not smarter than the one who applied these principles to life and set them in motion. Your Heavenly Father set these principles in motion. And He stepped back and He does let them work in our lives. And principles always work. You will not break them, but they will break your lives. Principles are not invented. We didn't come up with this as a great idea. Principles in life are discovered. Let me tell you about one of those discoveries. So if you're a math person, forgive me. Archimedes discovered a principle. He discovered several principles, I understand. He discovered one principle in general. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that these megaton aircraft carriers float in the ocean? Does that make sense? Now, you take me at 100-something pounds and put me in a pool, I float about 2 feet from however deep the bottom is. That's just where I float. You take my daughter, put her in the pool, and she floats up on the top. Now, I've talked to a friend of mine who has attended Georgia Tech, and they've done these classes, all my Georgia Tech friends, woohoo, right? So I've talked to my Georgia Tech friends, and what they say, and then you've got to go, woo, 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 you know. But anyway, the Georgia Tech folks do this. I mean, it's like, I wanted to say to him, really, is this a class? They put you in the pool and they measure where you float. And I said, well, people with more muscle float near the bottom. He says, oh no, not at all. That was not anything to do with it. People have different buoyancy rates. The point was, why do megaton aircraft carriers float? It's because this man discovered a principle called the principle of displacement. The principle always works. The thing about a principle is once you learn it, you have a choice with the principle. You can choose to apply the principle to your life or misapply the principle to your life. You can choose to ignore the principle. You will suffer the consequences of ignoring a principle. You can choose to leverage those principles in your life. You will discover the benefits of those privileges, of those principles. So when you take the aircraft carrier, you apply the principle of displacement, it floats and it works. There are principles in life, when you apply them to your life and you leverage them in your life, they will work for your benefit. The principle of the path, another part of it is that when you start walking a path, you may walk that path different distances. You may walk the path for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. Eventually, that path leads to an outcome. The same is true with the principle. You may say, I don't immediately see the benefit of following this principle because this principle is not easy for me to follow. But if you follow this principle long enough, keep applying the truths of this principle, it begins to work in your life and you see the benefit of this principle. Have you ever asked yourself, how many of you would say, gee, I have a few regrets in my life. I have some things that I just regret. Do you know why we have regrets? Because we did not apply principles. And when we look back, regrets are those things we wish we could go back and change. I wish I had not done that. I wish I had done that. I wish I had studied harder. I wish I had not. We may choose to say, I just don't believe in principles. I don't believe they work. That's okay. You can choose to believe that principles do not work. It doesn't affect the principle. Doesn't care what you believe. It still works. It still applies. The principle this morning, the principle of the path is this. Direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. So for my friend who says that a day without notes is a day without sunshine, here's your notes. All of your notes for one whole day. Okay, ready? Direction determines destination. It reminds me of a movie. There was a movie called The Wizard of Oz. Some of you may have seen it. It's been around for a few years. We used to stay home from church and watch The Wizard of Oz. It was about the only reason when I was growing up I could stay home from church. In it, Dorothy had lost her way. She was having a significant problem. She was facing difficult circumstances in her life. Dorothy wanted someone to fix her problem. When we ignore principles, it creates problems. Dorothy wants someone to fix her problem. Glinda shows up. She does not offer Dorothy a fix to her problems. She offers Dorothy a path to follow. Direction determines destination. Direction determines destination, not your intentions, not your intelligence, not your hopes, not your dreams, not your education, not your best desires. Direction determines destination. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, which highlights these principles and kind of gives us another principle that goes along with it. But we have to remember that when we are following a path and we experience circumstances or consequences in our lives that are not negative, or even if we experience circumstances and consequences in our lives that are those we desire, we did not suddenly arrive there. There is always a first step on that path. So if we are experiencing financial problems in our lives, it is because somewhere back down the path we took a first step in that direction and we should have seen, or we should have asked, where is this going? If academically, students, you are not where you want to be with exams coming up. It's always fun to listen to students around exam time. And I was talking to one the other night, and I said, so how are you doing? You're going to pass everything? They said, I have figured up everything, and if I make a zero on every final, I know that I will squeak by. They know exactly what they have to do. But somewhere along the line, if someone is borderline failing, back, 16, 13 weeks ago, they took a first step in that direction on that path academically. And where they are is by their own choosing to walk this path. That is true spiritually and morally in our lives. If we experience something morally in our lives that are negative circumstances and we don't like where our lives are morally and the things that are going on, it is because somewhere back here we chose to walk a path that was going in that direction. And every path has a natural outcome. And that's why this is so important to learn and leverage this principle in our lives. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Dear friends, if a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems in this way to obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone in need, you are fooling yourself. You are really a nobody. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the Word of God should be helped by their teachers by paying them. Don't be misled. Remember, you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. We're going to look at this. I want to back up all the way to verse 1. It says, if we are overcome by sin, you are godly, should gently help that person back on the right path. We have a responsibility for each other, to each other. It is okay to allow people to have an accountability in your life. It is healthy to have accountability in your life. I do not like people who want to hold me accountable. Sometimes it makes me a little angry. But it is healthy for me. It makes sure that it keeps me on the right path. And in doing so, if I'm going to hold someone else accountable, I need to make sure and examine my own life, that my own life is on the right path. Clearly what this says. So this is a humbling thing. And we need to make sure that we build accountability into our lives. We'll talk about that again. Drop down to verse 4. And in my translation, I was reading from New Living, which some people thought, that sounds a little strange and looks strange from what you were reading, and that's okay. I wanted you to see both and hear one and see the other. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well. And the New International Version, it says, test your own actions. And what this is saying is pay attention to your life. Be intentional in your life. This is too valuable to take for granted. It's too important to be sleeping through life and just allowing yourself to drift through life. You want to examine your life. Sit down with people who are wiser. Find people who have gone places that you want to go, who have arrived in places where you would like to see your life, your family, your marriage relationships, your spiritual life. Allow them to become your mentors. Coaching in the professional world has become so important. Not sports coaching, business coaching, mentoring people to do a better job. That is important. It's important in the teaching profession. When a young teacher starts working, they bring alongside a seasoned teacher beside them to help them walk through what it takes to manage that classroom and to teach. We need people in our lives. It's okay. But evaluate the direction your life is moving and the paths you are walking on. And if we don't, we will find ourselves drifting. We will find ourselves taking detours and getting off the path. And we will arrive in places that we never intended to arrive if we are not careful. The New International Version, if you drop on down, says, he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anyone else. Understand, so often we measure our lives, our grades, our successes, the things about our life against someone else. Now, just admit, in playing tennis, we had an interesting match the other night, and occasionally you just do something and you know that you could have done better, you should have done better, and it was just and the thing you want to do is throw your racket, and what I've learned is just to drop my racket on the ground. Okay, just a little insight into me, just drop it on the ground, because it could end up going flying, which is a bad thing. That's just bad sportsmanship. So I just kind of pretend like I dropped it. Yeah, just. So I have to pick it up. I calm down. Well, the other night, this guy just took his racket and threw it up against the fence. And I'm thinking, that really looks bad. That really looks bad. Who are you measuring yourself against? So I could measure myself against someone else and say, I'm doing better than they are. Understand the standard for our life. And I thought about this all week. The standard for our life in any arena is Jesus Christ. Well, we said, well, how could Jesus Christ be the standard for our life in any arena? Because he really just dealt with the spiritual arena. He did. But understand, in any arena that he invested his life, he gave his best. And if we measure ourselves against him, he's asking for our best. And if I've done my best, I can have confidence. It does not build confidence in me to measure myself against someone else. And that's what this is saying. Then if you drop on down just a little bit farther, it says, we are responsible for our lives. We are responsible. This is the point he's really getting at. If we do not like where our lives have arrived, if we do not like negative circumstances or negative consequences in our lives, you are responsible. I am responsible for those in my life. So often, I hear teenagers, and I can pick on teenagers just a little bit because they've probably heard this, and I've got some teachers. They will point at the teacher and say, they just can't teach. They just don't know what they're doing. They just don't know how to communicate. I kind of think, and I think, well, wow, maybe they don't. Did you study? Well, sure. Did you do all your math homework? Well, not always. If you were confused and had a question, did you go ask? Well, no, because they wouldn't have known how to explain it anyway. They wouldn't. Well, you could have gone and asked someone, right? But it's always, we want to blame and pass the buck and make an excuse to someone else. The principle of the path is applied. We're just experiencing negative consequences in our life because of the direction we have gone. We have to take responsibility for our lives, our actions, our choices. And when I accept those, I own those in my life. When I own those, that takes me to a point I am ready to change the direction and change the path of my life. As long as I make excuses, I will not change paths. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, getting the same results. We need to change direction, so we have to become responsible. In verse 7, he really gets down to it. He says, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping and the principle of the path are very, very closely related to each other. If you sow a seed, you're going to reap the harvest. I love the movie Secondhand Lions. One scene in particular, I don't know if you've ever seen it. There are these two old men, and they inherit somehow taking care of this young boy. They used to shoot at salesmen to drive them off. It was a sport. It was a game. Then they finally decided to buy things from these salesmen. Well, one day they bought seed from a traveling salesman. And they sow the seed. And they're standing out, if you can picture this, they're hoeing the seed. And the older brother looks at the other brother and he says, what's in this row? Well, what does it say on the end of the row? Corn. Well, it's corn. He said, well, what's in that row? He said, what? Beans. What's in that row over there? Tomatoes. And he looks at the little boy and he says, it all looks the same to me. Throws his hoe down and walks off. And the other brother starts looking, and sure enough, it was all corn. And he goes, well, that salesman saw me coming. Understand, what you sow in life, if you sow corn, beans, tomatoes, if you sow decisions and actions, you will reap what you sow. It's just the principle. If you are walking a path, every path has a natural outcome. It's going to arrive there. We can't change that. Direction determines destination. It's a principle, and God allows those to work in our lives. If we don't like them, then we change direction. We sow different seed, and we go in a different direction. What did we expect? I recently heard the story. A teacher was telling me he had this class, and these students were asleep in the class. In fact, they would just come in, never even take out a notebook, lay their head down on the desk, go to sleep. So the teacher decided to skip the normal process of doing a test review. Teachers in high school want students to pass. Trust me, there are some students teachers in high school want to pass. They want them to graduate. That's important to the teacher. Not the student, the teacher. So these students would just go to sleep in class. So this teacher decided not to give a review before the test. The students were a little upset. They went home. He said, just study your notes. They came back to take the test. The students were there, ready to take the test. The teacher says, you may take your notes out, and it's an open note test, for the exception of those who slept through the test. If they failed the test, what did they expect? We sow, we reap. A path leads somewhere. It's a principle in life, and it works. If there's a relationship that's not working in our lives, there is probably something in that relationship that we have sown. There is a path we have walked, a direction we have gone. That's why the relationship is not working. Understand, so many people want to point at the other person and blame someone else for what's going wrong in a relationship. It is never 100% one person and 0% the other. It is usually both, and we have sown something, and we're reaping the consequences. We have walked a path. Don't you like the TV commercials that come on and they say, we are going to help you eliminate all of your debt. We're going to restructure it, bring it into one. You'll have one low monthly, low interest payment. Understand that if you take Dave Ramsey and his class, he will tell you those never work. Do you know why? People still walk the same paths and they still use the same credit cards that have a zero balance while they're paying off all the balances that they have consolidated over here. They didn't change paths. They didn't change directions. They're going to suffer the same consequences and worse. It's just a principle, and it just works. The principle is true academically for students. If you decide to just not study, to not read the books you're supposed to read, to not do the homework you're supposed to do, those kinds of things, which none of the students at Oak Hill would ever think of doing that. So you see why all of the, we have a valedictorian. That's why. It's because none of the students here would do that. But the students that you go to school with who decide to do that, when they end up failing, that's the path they chose to walk. If, however, graduates, when you go off to college, you're going to be given greater responsibility, like in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, says be responsible. You're going to be given greater responsibility for your life because mom and dad, they're not going to be checking up on you. And if they are, you can tell them whatever they want to hear. But eventually, responsibility will come out. So if you choose to skip classes, if you choose to stay out really late, to sleep during the classes, to get involved in the extracurricular activities, if you choose those things, you are walking a path and you can see the outcome, the direction that path will lead. And there's no going around it, escaping it. In about 15 weeks, your parents will get a letter. Dear, your child has these grades. They are therefore on academic suspension from this university. It's not anyone's fault. It's the direction we chose to go. The principle applies to us morally and spiritually. If we walk certain paths morally and spiritually, they are going to lead in a particular direction. And they are going to have consequences. I promise you, from the 3 or 4 weeks that I've done some addiction counseling training, there was never someone in that class out of 20-something clients who just raised their hand and would say to you, I chose to be an addict. I chose to be an alcoholic. Never. But they took the first step on that path, and that path had a natural outcome. And they arrived there. They've got to either decide to change directions or allow it to grow worse. God will allow some of our circumstances to grow worse to get our attention, to change our direction, because He loves us that much. That is a moral and spiritual path, and it has an outcome. Every so often, we need to stop and ask ourselves, is the path I'm walking going to the place I want to arrive? Is the direction my life is moving in this arena going in the direction toward the destination that I desire it to go? And if any time we are not sure, or we it's a no, or there's someone who loves us enough to hold us accountable in our lives, and they would say to us, you really need to slow down and look at the direction you are going. We need to pay attention. Because the principle always works. Direction. Not intent, not dreams, not anything else. Direction determines destination. We will end up where that path is going. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time we've spent for these students. Father, we thank you for this truth, for this principle that you make a reality in our lives. I'm thankful that you give us principles, that you allow us to discover them. Give us the wisdom to apply them and not ignore them, to leverage them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. A simple invitation, if you want to receive Christ, be a follower of Him, we invite you to do that. He loves you, gave himself for you. If you just know that you've been on a path and that path has not been going in a direction that really you want your life to end up, along the way, God always gives us an opportunity to change. That's what repent is all about. If there's someone that you love and care about, maybe you need to just come. We value prayer at this altar to pray and put that individual on the altar to pray for that individual. Maybe you want to be a part of this community of faith, this body of believers in the direction that we are going to bring the kingdom of God into this community. We invite you to join us. We would love for you to be a part of us. The Holy Spirit is going to work in your life. You respond as He leads. Let's stand together.